Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody.
Woohoo!
This is our Thursday evening bracket rundown show, recording here live on tape delay on
Bracket.
Thursday, March 4th, a little after 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by the puppet David Griggs and Matt Sikowski back with us for the first time in a while. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you.
Down below me, we have Joby Fortson, his sides, John Titel, and Rocco Miller from bracketeer.org. We thought we were going to have Mike Cha with us as well. He may be jumping in here as we get going. But this is, well, this is kind of our bracket reveal show is what we're going to be doing tonight. And so what I did was I asked each of our panelists, including Mike, who was not quite here yet, to submit a list of their top 55 teams, regardless of conference. I cross-country scored those and came up with basically a consensus seed list. I personally added in the single bid conferences at the end of the field and bracketed it up, and we're going to reveal it kind of Selection Sunday style. And Rocco, I know you didn't actually get a seed list in, but you are going to be kind of commenting on what we did and tell us where we got it wrong, correct?
I'll do what I can.
Yeah.
Which means we got everything wrong, I think, probably. But the rest of us did submit seed lists, and if Mike jumps in here at some point, he can talk as well. But this is the blank bracket that we're going to be dealing with for today, if it came up on the screen. Quick note, though, we did submit these seed lists as of around 7 p.m. this evening, which means Baylor's win over Oklahoma State and Michigan's blowout of Michigan State that already happened tonight were not factored in, as well as some games that are going on right now, including Iowa, Colorado have games, Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas in a very strange, strange game at home against UTEP that we might be discussing tonight on the Championship Week video notebook at length if the score holds up. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on in Lawrence there right now, but something very strange is happening.
Bryson Williams.
On that note, did I get everything? I think I did. What I'm going to do is reveal not the matchups, but I'm going to reveal teams one at a time through the first 16 teams in order, and then we'll go one seed line at a time to go a little quicker after that.
This is how the selection show should air, if our people are watching.
Well, that's why, I mean, we don't, with this, we're not going to find out who the 12 seeds are halfway through. We're going to find out who the 12 seeds
right.
are, the first four at the end
All
of the
at
show.
One. Yeah, which is how it should be.
Number one team overall, no surprise, Gonzaga.
What? Wait a minute.
I don't even know that it's worth debate at this point. The only undefeated team left in the nation. In the nation.
Well, I mean, when you look at all the other protected seeds, they're going to probably have ranked team wins against ranked teams in their conference tournament. Gonzaga won't. Should they even be on the one line at all?
I'm just moving on, David. I'm going to ignore you. Number two overall is probably no surprise as well, coming off of Michigan's loss this week. Now Baylor clearly moving into the two seed. Titel, let me ask you again, any doubt now about Baylor being number two overall?
Very little. You can certainly make an argument for probably a half dozen teams from the Big Ten, frankly, but they look good tonight, beating the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and they seem to have bounced back from the Kansas loss, which sadly could look like a tier two loss if Kansas keeps going in the wrong direction tonight.
Yeah. That's, number three overall, I don't think is any surprise either as well. Joby, Michigan is clearly number three overall at this point, I think,
right.
Especially with what they
I
did
I know there's
tonight.
A lot of Big Ten teams nipping at their heels, so to speak, especially after the loss to the sumo-less Illinois team. But overall, come on, there's only two losses there. It's in the toughest or one of the two toughest conferences in America. I think it's a no-brainer as of this point, especially after beating Sparty tonight. That's why Mike's not here. He's celebrating that win. And Michigan number three makes sense.
Yep. And Matt, number four overall, I don't know that there's much of a surprise here either. And it's not the team that had been there all year. It is now Illinois that has moved up to the one line.
Well, I think winning at Michigan, that vaults them, I think, actually fairly significantly ahead of Ohio State and Iowa, yeah. And maybe Alabama, although I don't like Bama's resume that much, at least for the one line, because they didn't do anything out of conference.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody's had Bama on the one line at any point.
And that, but I think Illinois right now is ahead of Iowa and Ohio State for that one. And I think as long as they don't do anything too bad in the Big Ten tournament – and then I think they'll get the one now. That win at Michigan, I think, is going to be the differentiator.
right. Rocco, did we get the one line correct?
I think so. That's great.
Yeah, Matt, I will say, is beating Duke really doing something out of conference? Because that's really all Illinois.
We could get the debate of the fact that the Big Ten did nothing at all out of conference, but we're not going to do that right now. That's for
they
another
didn't
day.
Do anything out of conference. Unless you count their conference games.
Let's go to number five overall. And Rocco, Ohio State came in at number five overall. And this was where I think that there was a lot of teams vying for number five overall.
Yeah, I think I have Ohio State at five as well at this point. I do think, though, if Alabama secures the SEC title and the tournament, they're going to vault them. Or, you know, Ohio State will have to do something very impressive in the Big Ten to end up at five in the end. But for today, I think that's where they belong.
Well, I think there's the other question, though, Tytel. What if Ohio State wins out? What if Ohio State wins the Big Ten tournament? There's a road back to the one line, isn't there?
That's the big X factor. Chad's exactly right. The Big Ten tourney, you cannot do it this year without having several Tier 1A wins, right? So I think that could easily vault you way up.
Yeah, and when you look at another team that's going to pop up on the two line, I think, we could have a semifinal of top eight teams.
Well, before we get there, we're going to sneak in another Big 12 team here with West Virginia. Joby, West Virginia – We did not factor in their win tonight. They did pick up one more win against TCU this evening. But
Illinois on Sunday beat Michigan, had West Virginia pulled off what was a very tight game with Baylor. I mean, it was an awesome basketball game. Had West Virginia pulled off their win this weekend, they would have been on my one line. Now, Illinois beating Michigan, you know, let's see how that would have sorted itself out. But this West Virginia team's real. They're good. They are outstanding, and they are deserving of a two line right now.
Agreed.
Number seven overall, David, this is the team I think you're talking about. Here's Iowa, the fourth Big Ten team already, and we're only seven teams into the tournament.
Right, and it's just kind of interesting because while it's rare that when you're the seventh overall team and you're on the two line that you would potentially face three opponents that are ahead of you, Iowa has a path to the one line too. I mean, it would have to be a Herculean effort because they would have to win the Big Ten tournament. But if you do that, you're talking about knocking off two number one seeds on neutral courts. Rarely does a one seed have multiple wins over other number one seeds away from home. So Iowa could still really beef up their resume.
Yeah, that's why this Big Ten tournament is going to be insane. You look at this, and we're not done with the Big Ten by any stretch here with these four teams. Matt, our last two seeds, probably no surprise, the team we mentioned already once, Alabama, did get there on the two line, just at the bottom of it right now.
Yeah, I think that's somewhere like 7 or 8 where they belong right now. Because I mean, there is something to say they are dominating the probably clear number three conference this year. But like I said, that's going to hurt for the one line is that like, the Big Ten's stronger, and they at least those teams did at least something out of note out of conference. I mean, yeah, at Duke, that's still a quad one win that Alabama, I don't think, has out of the league.
Well, I got to call you out on this. You said the number three conference. I've got the Big Ten, the Big 12, the SWAC. SEC's number four.
You count up with same number of teams, we will have more ACC teams in this field. And I'm
Patriot League, out of conference losses.
Hey, there's only two conferences out there with teams that are undefeated in conference play, and the SWAC has two teams undefeated in conference play. But Rocco, did we get the two seeds correct?
Well, I do have West Virginia on the three line personally. I just think they've had 13 opportunities to play Q1 games. They've only won six of those. It's picking. Picking my favorite part of the resume, I think if you're under 500 in Q1 games, it's hard to be a two seed. So I default to Houston just being a dominant conference leader, albeit not the same caliber of wins that West Virginia's had the opportunity to obtain. Houston's a top five net team and everything checks out in the metrics.
But they're not leading their conference, and that's a big deal.
Right.
That is a big deal for me.
It is.
Rocco, I would also say had they played, I don't know, anybody instead of Gonzaga, they wouldn't have a losing record against Quad 1
Fair enough. So they lost
you
got to
look
too.
At the number of teams that are on the one line.
Yeah, look at that. That in fact, if you factor in Gonzaga to Baylor losses, and over here in Houston, these two horrendous losses.
Yeah.
West Virginia's worst loss is a home loss to an Oklahoma team that might, or maybe the Florida loss.
Yeah, Florida's like an 8 seed right now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably the Florida losses. But everybody they lost to is going to be wearing white, whereas Houston lost to a team that's going to be wearing dark, and two teams that are not even going to be in the NIT.
They're going to be watching.
I like West Virginia's wins. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I just think it's like a balancing act in terms of that quad record and it's win percentage at that point. But yeah, David's right. Gonzaga, Baylor, you kind of need to excuse those.
let's go to number 9 overall, starting off the 3 line here as we are kind of flying. And Tytel, Villanova came in even above Houston at this point. Does that surprise you?
No, but the concern is I believe Colin Gillespie announced torn MCL, probably out for the year. So yeah. My question back to you is,
oh, yeah.
I think they might be able to escape. I think they're at Providence on Saturday. But what happens if they fall in the Big East tourney? How does that affect their seeding, you think, Chad? Well,
I'll tell you quite honestly, I had Villanova down another seed line lower in my personal bracket here because of the Gillespie situation. I think that when you have a player that's not going to be coming back at all, that may affect your seeding with the committee more so than having a guy who's out but returning. Rocco, I know you do look at this a lot. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's funny you said that. I talked to a few people about that today. My personal opinion is I'm going to wait and see how they play at Providence this week, see how the Big East goes before I make any changes. Obviously, if we see something drastically different, that's going to be cause for discussion and probably move them down a seed line. I think also that what I saw last night was, when Creighton went on that 17-0 run to get back in it, Villanova responded really well. And I think without Gillespie, they're actually better defensively because they're just bigger and longer. So they're going to improve, I think, a little bit defensively, but they obviously lose a lot offensively. So it might be a winning formula still. We'll see how that plays out. And that's why I don't want to drop them immediately.
And Providence is while it's not a test of tests, it's not completely dregs. They have the potential to lose down to Providence. And if they go out and they beat Providence solidly by double digits, then I think that is stay the ship and the NCAA tournament committee might let them get a pass to a degree, depending on the Big East tournament.
Yeah. I think there's just got to be some evidence that they've taken a direct, a drop off.
Let's take a look at number 10 overall. Matt, here's that Houston team finally coming in. I know Rocco thinks it should be a 2 seed. Are you there on a 3 seed with them or are you lower on them?
No, actually I had them as my last 2 seed.
Okay.
I defaulted under the metrics a bit on them to where like they're really high in both net and KenPom. So that I can see the argument their resume is a little thin at the top. That even though they do have that nice neutral court win over Texas Tech, but I can see that's the argument probably if they get a 3 seed, that's the argument why. I think they were at 2, I believe, on the bracket reveal.
Yeah, yeah, that's another thing. I should have said that. That's playing into my decision too.
Right. The East Carolina loss came after that bracket reveal.
Yeah, it did. It was like a couple days later, wasn't it?
It did.
Legitimately be a seed line loss.
I mean, there is a nice sweep of an SMU team that has some decent numbers. And obviously, there's the Boise State win and the split with Wichita. So and a home win over Western Kentucky. Don't forget that win down there. It's actually a very nice win, even if it's at home. So there's some nice things here on that profile. That. And the way they beat Western Kentucky as well was very impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joby, number 11 overall is Arkansas. How about the Arkansas team that you yelled at us just about 4 weeks ago belong in the field?
And I yelled at everybody saying I was wrong. I've already said that, and I've already admitted that they're a protected seed. 11, not outrageous. I had them as a 12. So I had them on the 3 line, 1 spot below. And so I can't really fault this. Arkansas has played very well. They're one of the only teams to beat Alabama in the SEC. A very rare feat indeed this year. And Arkansas, the problem Arkansas had at the beginning of the year is they beat the teams who they were supposed to beat and they hadn't beaten anybody else. Well, they changed that. You look at that resume, and since that time we were bitching about them, me specifically, Alabama, Missouri, Florida, and LSU have all popped up as wins. And that changes your profile. Very significantly, you have 4 wins against not just tournament teams, but teams wearing white. including another protected seed, done. I'm fine with Arkansas on the three line right now.
Well, Titel, Arkansas wins out, including wins the SEC tournament. A two seed, could they toe the one line? I mean,
are we talking that would include a win over an Alabama team ranked ahead of them, right?
I would assume with a win over Alabama in the SEC tournament championship game. Yep.
I think that makes a good argument. I mean, they'd certainly need to impress. They can't just like beat the dregs of the SEC, but if they get some quality tier one wins, including Alabama, I think that's a legit possibility.
All right, David, I'm going to finish off the three line here. The last team that made it in was Oklahoma State. This was a team that there was that David, you actually were the highest of anybody on. I know you really like this Oklahoma State team. I'd like to have you debate it with Matt also, because Matt, you didn't even think Oklahoma State was near a protected seed.
Well, I mean, we'll pull up their resume.
Okay, let me pull up the resume. I'm sorry.
I mean,
and this was okay. This voting was before tonight, although their loss tonight was to Baylor, so you can't really fault them for that too much.
Yeah, and when you look at the merits, you have a win against Arkansas, and I know it was at home, but already in. They went to Texas Tech. They've swept them. They've swept Oklahoma, who's also already in. In the win at Wichita State is really, really good. It's a place Houston failed to win at. I know that like their predictive metrics are a little low, but their merit is off the charts. I mean, it's just how many teams that are in the, you know, that are in the top 25 do they have to beat before people realize this is a really damn good team? They lost tonight, but they were without a key player.
Well, Matt, what about Oklahoma State do you not like? Is it those metrics?
Yeah, that's what's going to be. It's like the basically strength of record there, 13. That's right where they basically fell. Their predictive metrics would be like a 7 or 8 seed. So I kind of split the difference and had as a 5. But I mean, that was right between a 4 and a 5 for them. But that's a hard case of the predictive metrics and the results. I kind of split the difference on it, but the real committee will probably have them closer to a 3 or 4, but I just couldn't ignore that you have two predictive metrics had them, like says, a 7 or an 8 seed.
Let's take a look at before I go to the four line. First of all, Rocco, do you agree with the three line?
I like it up until Oak State. I've got Oklahoma State on the four line, so okay. Pretty close by, and I would have put Kansas in just because they have the Baylor win, and I'm assuming they can get out of jail here.
Yeah, they're starting to close things down with UTEP. I think they'll find a way. Welcome Mike Cha to our show also. Mike did join us. He was running a little late this evening. Mike, if you can see this team's up there, we're just getting into the start of the four line, which starts off with Florida State. So let me ask you, do you like the fact that we put Florida State on the four line?
Well, I had them on the three line, so it's close. I mean, it's not that much of a difference. So Florida State in the four line is doesn't bother me.
Yeah, Joby, I think you would have had them a line higher as well, wouldn't you have?
Yeah, I mean, they're leading the ACC by a game right now. They have several wins against tournament teams, though. And I know David's big knock is they haven't done anything on the road except for winning at Pitt and
Louisville.
And Louisville, yeah. But
something at least, yeah. But
at least they've done something. And it was a tournament team. Florida State, there's a lot of eye test for me here. They're good. They could win the whole dang thing, and I am not kidding when I say that. Consistency, maybe you could argue, but, you know, man, that they're leading the ACC. The ACC, as we will see, will have 7 teams maybe in this field, and they're whipping all of them for the most part.
I'll tell you what, let's keep things rolling here. And Titel, let me bring you back in. Number 14 overall, we had Kansas. That's the team that Rocco mentioned should be up a seed line higher. Do you like Kansas as a 4? Do you think they're a 3? Do you think they're...
Have you asked me 2 hours ago, I would have liked them as a 3, but I'm a little nervous tonight. Bill Self wanted to not have a 12-day layoff, so that's why he added a hastily scheduled UTEP non-conference game that hopefully will not bite him in the butt. No, any team that can beat Baylor... And any team that has had the quality of wins they've had recently, they've just been beating everybody. They've beaten Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, West Virginia, swept Texas Tech. They're definitely this line worthy.
Number 15 overall, we had yet another Big 12 team here. We're starting to get Big 12 teams like crazy. This is already our 5th Big 12 team in the field. It's Texas. Rocco, do you think Texas it really deserves to be a 4 seed?
I think they're close. I think they're in the conversation. I actually would have Purdue just a bit higher with their sweep of Ohio State. Now, I know Texas has the sweep of Kansas, which is looking better and better, but might not be if they lose to UTEP, right? So that's nice for Texas, but also, you know, two games under 500 in these Q1 chances. Again, when you're trying to decipher teams in the power conferences, it is helpful to look at how many 1A wins they have. Texas has three. I think what Purdue's been able to do, there's a little bit more strength, I guess.
Yeah, and if you look at Purdue, if we're doing the thing of here where we're discounting those losses to the really, really cream of the crop, you could take away three of Purdue's losses, and now you've got an amazing resume, don't you?
Right. It would be a lot better without those, for sure.
I really like this Purdue team. I think that they deserve to be in this protected seed range here. We have not called them yet. There is one spot left. But, Matt, are you with me? Are you with me that Purdue should be up in the top 16 or no?
Yeah, if not, they're pretty close. I mean, that's the one, because I know they're strong in the metrics too. So their resume and metrics, where like, that's where like looking at taking a closer look, I actually probably could have them as a four seed.
And actually,
I would have them over Texas, I think.
Well, I'll tell you what, they actually did make our final protected seed. So there we go. They did get in there. We at least did something right. You know, let me ask here, Titel. First, let me ask you: do you like what we did here with the top 16 teams?
I don't hate it, Chad. I think you did very well. My question to you: I believe Mackey Arena is one of the host sites for the NCAA tournament. Do we know if Purdue is allowed to play there?
That's a very good question. I don't know that we've heard that answer, Rocco. You might. You've got your.
I don't think they've. I don't think they've announced anything on that front as of yet.
I would hope not. Yeah, it because it is an advantage, and they
for shooting. Yeah, it's a shooting advantage. Yeah, I think.
But we have not heard officially. I'd agree with Joby. I hope we do not see that. But at this point, what we're gonna do is I'm gonna go one full seed line at a time, starting with the five seeds. We're gonna see some potential second round matchups. So these are the five seeds. Reading them right across, we have Virginia's matched up with Texas, Texas Tech in with Purdue, Clemson in with Kansas, and Oklahoma in there with Florida State. Mike, are those the five seeds in your opinion right now, or do you think we ruined it?
Let me just check my notes here. I had Oklahoma a bit lower, but other than that, I'm pretty fine with that. I think I had Florida in the 2021 area. There's no Missouri.
Missouri has not gotten in yet, and that's interesting. Matt, let me ask you about that. Let me especially about that Oklahoma team.
Yeah,
you didn't like Oklahoma.
Missouri in over Oklahoma, Chad.
Yeah. Matt, you didn't like Missouri, like Oklahoma either, correct?
No, I had them more like as a 6 or 7 seed. I think, like I said, the top of the resume, of course, that's very good with the wins at Kansas and West Virginia. But again, that's another one. The metrics don't love them, and Alex, I'm a big metrics guy, especially this year where I probably haven't watched as much. So therefore, I will defer to metrics over the eye test, where I've only seen you maybe once or twice. So,
well, it's just when a team beats so many teams that are already ahead of them, and they've won it at West Virginia and at Texas. There's teams, Alabama in particular, does not have two wins that even come close to that. I mean, I think this is a really good. Really good Oklahoma team.
And I agree with you, David. The problem I have is that we're comparing them to Missouri right now, which has an
They beat Alabama.
Illinois at home, Alabama at home, which we already have in the field, and then a bunch of teams we're about to name. You know, Tennessee, Florida aren't long on this list from being named, and Oregon as well.
Yeah. Titel, Missouri, I have up there. You're not a big fan of them. I think you had them rated the worst of anybody, actually.
I think they've been fading over the past 30 days. The X factor for them, we talked about injuries before with Gillespie. Jeremiah Tillman, I don't think it was an injury. Yes. I think he had a death in the family or something. They went 0-2 without him, and I think the committee will say, oh, we're not going to fault you when one of your best players isn't on the court.
Yeah, so I could see Missouri being in the conversation here for five line. We didn't actually get them in there. Rocco, do you like what we did, or do you think Missouri or somebody else should have been up here?
Yeah, I would have had Missouri in over Clemson, and then I'm okay with the other three. And I think Clemson losing to Syracuse last night. I know Joby loves the resume. I love it, too, for a lot of what they've done. But there's just a lot of things out of whack with the metrics, and they weren't very competitive at Syracuse yesterday.
And I dropped them to a six seed. I'm actually.
Yeah, I'm on a six. I'm on a six.
I actually had them on my submission as a six. So believe it or not, the big Clemson cheerleader sat on the sidelines on this one.
Yeah, I mean, right, well, there is
on the sixth line.
There is that. I mean, they got great neutral court wins, but there is a road win problem. Only two of them, and they're yeah. Miami and yeah. Wake, and they'd have no more chances. So I think I kind of am with you there that maybe they'd be long on a line lower than this.
Yeah, I would have actually liked their resume a lot more had they not lost to Syracuse the other night. But I mean, that's
well, David, I just pulled up the six seeds here. Missouri, who we mentioned, is on this line along with Tennessee, USC, mm-hmm. and Creighton.
Yeah.
Do you like that? I know Florida's not quite there. I think Florida actually just barely missed that. Matt might have had a little bit of effect on that, but I think they still would have missed
the yeah.
Because he forgot to vote for them. But
yeah, yeah. And this is just one of the things that as a committee, when you have 100 different things to look at, sometimes the resume jumps out. Sometimes the metrics jump out. Something that jumps out to me about Tennessee is just how lousy they've looked on the court yeah. for the last several weeks. I certainly don't think we have them too high, and you could arguably move them down even a little bit lower. I mean, I had them on my sixth line. Now, that resume tops out outstandingly. I love this Arkansas team. Arkansas wasn't quite going at 100 miles an hour when Tennessee beat them, but I think that's a really good win. I love the win at Mizzou. I think that that's – like only one of I think Mizzou's only lost one or two other games at home, maybe only one other win. So there's a lot of good things on here, but
they also caught Kansas when Kansas was playing as awful. So they caught teams at the right time to help this resume.
Yeah, but they just haven't looked that good. I mean, you know, they lost at Auburn, they lost at Ole Miss. These aren't. I mean, these are bubble lit teams at best, and they're not beating them. Lost to Kentucky, who's not even on the bubble. They're just not very good right now.
Yeah, they got blown out by.
And Kentucky. The only wins they have are Vanderbilt and South Carolina, the absolute crap of the SEC. They're not playing well. I mean, and that is why I might add, I had them on as they were the first team there, but I had them on the eighth line.
And that's not outrageous. Yeah. I mean, it's a rate they're going. Yeah.
Rocco, you're a Pac-12 guy. How about USC, who I put up on the right there? Do they belong on this line? You know, they've had some very head-scratching losses recently, too.
Recently, yeah. I have them just barely missing the six. They're my top number seven, so they're really in the conversation, I'd say. Who else do we have on the six? If you can go back,
let's put that back up. We had Tennessee there along with Missouri yeah. and Creighton.
Okay, I'm with you on Tennessee and Creighton. I would actually go Colorado just barely above USC. They swept USC, mm-hmm. and you know, they have both things to like and not to like. And I think just that if they're next to each other in the comparison, I go Colorado because they swept them.
Titel, would you agree with that? You're also a Pac-12 guy.
I am, and I think Rocco would agree. Colorado's hanging with ASU at the moment. God bless them if they lose, but Ducks are coming on so strong. I think the Ducks are going to end up
eventually.
Week and a half up here.
Eventually they'll get there.
Colorado is on our seven line there, along with Wisconsin, Florida, who we've mentioned already once, and San Diego State. Matt, David, go ahead. You first then.
I thought I had San Diego State pretty high. Apparently everyone else likes them a lot more than I do. Well, I thought I was going to have to defend them on the 8 or 9 line.
Mike, what about San Diego State? I mean, they are the leader of the Mountain West. They just came off a sweep of Boise. They only have 4 losses on the season. They're all respectable losses.
Two of them were in 36 hours to the same team.
Yep.
Right.
Did we lose Mike?
Might've lost him.
Oh, I have San Diego State more in the 8-9 area. The thing is, they don't really have a quality win away from home. I mean, their best win away on it, well, it's on a neutral court against St. Mary's, but I think 7's a little bit high, but that's just my opinion.
Mike, not to repeat what you said, but that was exactly my sentiments. Is while there's a lot of decent there, there's nothing really good. Yeah, and
David,
nothing...
you actually just did repeat what he said.
Yeah. No, that's what I meant to say. But they haven't beaten anybody away from home that's not going to be watching the tournament on television.
Matt, they do have some great metrics, though.
Yeah, that's why I had them a little higher. Like I said, their body is okay. It's better than Loyola, who compared similar teams with their high end the metrics. their resumes aren't real strong, but San Diego State has a little bit more for it, and the Mountain West is definitely a couple of steps above the Valley too. So that's why I like it. That's why I like them, I think, as a sixth seed, but
I think Loyola would beat them.
let's keep running.
I really don't know about that statement, David.
Yeah, Loyola is such a good defensive team. I think that they would throw, especially when you look at some of the games that they struggled
in. Crap in the Missouri Valley, yeah. To be honest.
Rocco, the 8 line has Maryland, despite the loss to Northwestern, Oregon, who you just mentioned, Vatek, and BYU coming in on it.
Yeah, so I agree there on Maryland's my last number 8. VTech, I have as my last number 7, actually. I did move Oregon up to a 7 today, so I would have both them and VTech up. And then BYU I've got right there at 8. I think on the last line, I would have Florida move down after their home loss last night, down to an 8. And who's the other one? I guess that kind of squares us up because we had Colorado already.
Right. Joby, I think you were objecting to this line.
No, Maryland sucks sometimes. Okay. Here, they don't suck. But Maryland, that loss should be punished severely. This is not the Northwestern team that beat Ohio State and Michigan State. They were coming off a ridiculous losing streak until the last two games. And one of them is Minnesota, who's out. So, by a long way. Maryland should be punished. They were in 7-8 before yesterday. That's a not just a seed line loss, it's a double seed line loss when you do something like that. Bad, bad loss. And there are a lot of teams, I think, that Loyola or whoever, you know, that's been bounced around, that should be taking, that deservedly should be taking that spot. A 9 seed, I'm fine with, but 8, I know 8-9 is the same thing, but it's semantics here.
It's the color
sets you up to move. Yeah. But 8 sets you up to move to 6 and 7. 9 does not as much, and so that's what we're talking about—the position where they are right now.
Just a quick note here: the committee David Warlock did announce he pretty much runs the committee in the committee room, right. that in the first and the fourth region, basically be the left side of the bracket. So it'll be the West region and the East region on our screen. All first four games need to be in them because those games will be played on Thursday, and therefore those will be the Saturday, Monday region. Yeah. And BYU will be that, it will be there as well in the Saturday, Monday. So BYU has to be in the East or the West. They could not have gone into the South or Midwest, by the way.
Unless you put the other first four teams over there.
It was funny as BYU could not be in the West given Gonzaga's presence there.
Right. So BYU has BYU only had one spot if they're on the 8 line. That's right where they are.
8 or the 9, yeah.
Yep.
And they deserve it. You know what? They didn't have to mix it around. That's where BYU deserves. 8-9 is perfect for them right now.
Let's take a look at the 9 season. These are the potential first round matchups now. Maryland's opponent's going to be LSU. Oregon gets Loyola Chicago. Vatek gets UConn and BYU versus Rutgers. Let's start with this UConn team. Titel, I don't think you had them quite this high up.
I did not, and I'm kind of doing the blaming them for the Bouknight injury, which, as I personally have said, like with him, they are this good. It's just they lost a lot of games, but it was without him. So I think that this seems like a good place to put him. I don't know how they're going to do in the postseason just because I don't think they have a lot of recent experience in March. But certainly, like, anybody who can beat USC and anybody can lose at Villanova by single digits, like, that's a good team.
Yeah, they were down early at Seton Hall, but they came back and won that game yesterday. That was a big win to pick up. Matt, I think you've had them even higher than the seed line, though.
Yeah, right? I had them, I think, about 7 seed because – I really like them with Bouknight. I actually think they might have been, if not a protected seed, pretty close, like up in that Creighton range, if not maybe a touch higher. They're a really good team when he's healthy. And the results have basically borne it out. They've only lost a couple of games when he's been healthy and have those nice wins over SC, at Xavier, at Seton Hall, who are right, at least in the discussion, to make the field.
Mike, what about this Loyola team? Are you there that this is a team that's in the 8-9 range at this point with this resume?
I personally had him closer to a 10, but I don't have too much of a problem with them being a 9. I mean, it's a solid team, but just don't lose tomorrow to Southern Illinois. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I think that's the big one. I think if they get by that, even if they lose in the semifinals, they're probably okay. They stress out if they lose to Southern Illinois tomorrow in the quarterfinals of the MVC.
If they beat Southern Illinois, they'll be in.
I think they're in. I think they're going in on the first ballot.
They probably are in anyhow, but they're going to have to sweat. There's a difference here.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Rocco, I'm going to pull up the 10 seeds here, and Colorado gets Georgia Tech, fast-rising Georgia Tech team. Wisconsin gets North Carolina. San Diego State gets Louisville, and UCLA ruins the all-ACC party by being the Pac-12 team here, getting Florida.
Yeah, no, this looks good. I'm actually like the exact same top 40. No, nobody in or out. I had a couple switch-ups on 9 and 10. To me, I think I don't know how closely the committee looks at it, but there's clearly a much bigger advantage of being a 10 instead of an 8 or 9. So it's more of a reward to get the 10. And so I rewarded UConn and Loyola Chicago, who I think belong there, have a better chance to make the second weekend as a 10 seed than an 8 or a 9. So I'm keeping them on the 10 for the time being with the opportunity to move up to a 7. And then punishing the 9 line with a bunch of teams that are struggling, like Rutgers, UCLA, Louisville, and LSU. And how I think of it.
Just punch me like that.
It's ironic.
Hey, they're struggling. You can't deny that.
I feel like the comment that David made earlier on San Diego State, it's like, I really like this Georgia Tech team a lot, and I'm the one who's been the cheerleader. I actually, they're the only team in that top 40 that I actually, now they were like 42, I think, but 43, but so I'm not arguing, but my gosh, yeah. Congratulations, guys. Way to go come through on Georgia Tech. Maybe I'm underestimating the team I've been cheerleading all along.
Yeah. Tytel, what about this Georgia Tech team? I just pulled them up there on the left, 5 in a row, red hot.
There are a few teams that I think are eliminated in November, but I thought that Georgia Tech was eliminated in November, and I'm happy to say I was dead wrong, because our Arizona Wildcat favorite, Josh Pastner, turned this team around. They had the big wins in January and February. It took them a while, but they got there. They have a veteran crew of athletes and scorers. I think they're going to beat Wake on the road. I have no idea how they're going to do in the ACC tourney. I'll defer to Jilby on that, but as of today, I like this team where they are.
I think they will do very well in the ACC tourney. They're playing well, and I'll be shocked if they lose their first game, to be honest. I think because they will not be one of the top four, so they're going to be playing someone like a Pitt, someone in that range. They're not playing Virginia Tech. They're playing someone they should beat in that first game. It's actually unfortunate for them, because – you lose to Wake and you lose to that Pitt game, all of a sudden you're probably out. you almost want to be. That's why being in the top four in the ACC is so important for those four, because they're protected from probably a bad loss, or if the bad loss, at least it's a Pitt team in our hypothetical that has won two or three games. So it's, so it's not quite as bad.
Double bye is huge.
Let's go to the 11 line here. Matt, let me bring you back in. We see Wichita State getting in here against Tennessee. We see Michigan State against USC. We see the Bonnies against Mizzou, and another two A-10 teams, VCU against Creighton. Do you like that fact, the fact that we actually got two A-10 teams in above the first four even?
Oh, yes. I think definitely had the Bonnies that they got the 10 line. This is going to be that's another one there. That's a super hard resume to evaluate, but the metrics like them a lot. And then VCU has done some nice things, legit. Like they have had a fairly COVID-free season, and luckily the injury to Bones Highland did not turn out to be as bad as they feared. So I think the A-10, it's pretty solid at the top. I actually have another team in my field that we haven't talked yet, but I'm sure we'll probably discuss down the road here.
Yeah, well, we might be discussing them in the teams that are out, but we'll get there. But
VCU looks real shallow to me.
David, I think when you look at VCU and Rocco, would you be with you? When you look at that quadrant two, it kind of makes them very interesting, does it not?
Yeah, I like the fact that more than half of those wins are in 2A. I think when you get to the bubble, 2A gets actually pretty important. I've been just noticing that on a few of these resumes. when you're trying to decipher. Like Xavier is an example of a team we'll probably talk about that has lost all their two-way games, and that's why I really hate their profile right now. But VCU, I mean, all those wins matter. You're trying to, you know, split hairs, and I think it's an important category.
I think you need to look at the quadrants in general terms, not in specific terms. St. Bonaventure and St. Louis at home are decent, but they're not good. They're listed above Memphis. That the Memphis win right now, I think, would be a lot better, but Memphis wasn't that good when they played them. I think the win at Dayton is good. That's the really only thing that jumps out at me as being really good, and I like the neutral floor win against Utah State, but it isn't hard to beat to win quad two games at home a lot of the time.
Oh yeah, Xavier.
Xavier's not in. Xavier's not going to be.
Well, they might be. We're not done with the field yet.
Now, St. Bonaventure is 31. I think that's a misleading 31, but I disagree with that. If you're beating teams in the 30s at home, that those are legitimate. Okay. Now, if you're fighting for protected seed, yes. But if you're fighting for the field, you're beating teams in the field at home. That's good because a lot of teams don't do that.
Okay, Joey, not everybody in the 30s is the same. You have to look at
– I agree. And the Bonnies are bloated.
Not just that they're in the 30s. Louisville was another team. Yeah. They haven't really beaten anybody at home that's good on the road, minus maybe Virginia Tech and Western Kentucky.
I want just one more team that's on this line. And Tytel, I want to ask you about them. This Michigan State team. Do you think they even belong in the field? Again, this was even before today's loss to Michigan. Now they're sitting here at what is it, 14 and 11 overall with having to play Michigan again. So they're about to be 14 and 12.
Probably the good part of having a doubleheader against a one seed to finish your season is that I don't think you get dinged too much if you lose, which I agree with you, they probably will. The top of the tier 1A with the wins over the Buckeyes and the Illini are fantastic. It's hard to excuse 11 losses, and it's hard to excuse losing record in conference, but they're winning at the right time. And the worst thing for Andy Enfield, if you're a six seed, do you want to be playing St. Bonaventure or Michigan freaking State?
Well, I got to tell you, Michigan State, though, you got to remember here, if they lose this game to Michigan and lose in the Big Ten tournament, they're going to be going, that's 13 losses. That is a lot of losses, especially in a short season.
I think they can afford, it's what I said on the Hoops HD update on Monday. They can afford, they beat Indiana. They needed to do that. They can afford two losses to Michigan, but then that puts all the pressure for the tournament on their first game in the Big Ten tournament. They need it. If they don't get it, they are likely out. Though, as we get to the bottom of our field, you then have to ask, well, then who?
Yeah, the big question is who. We have four at-large bids left. They're on a 12 line.
So, Joby, you're implying that Michigan State needs to win one of its next two, whether it's the Michigan game on Sunday.
Well, if they meet Michigan, it's a done deal regardless. But
I agree. I
think we can all agree. But if they
because they'd have
they
two
can't
wins
lose both.
One seed.
They can't lose both. Even though that they'll be quality.
If they beat Michigan, they would have two wins against number one seeds.
Yeah.
They might be looking at Rutgers in a 7-10 game in the Big Ten.
And then they need to beat Rutgers. And if you lose to Rutgers, who's not easy, it's not an easy game for them. They already lost at home to Rutgers. They need one of these two. And it's tough. Sorry. You play in the Big Ten and that's tough. But I 14 teams ain't making the tournament.
Rocco, I'm going to pull up the first of our first four games here. I believe it's going to pop up in the West region, actually, because these have to be in the West or in the East. Colorado State and Xavier making the field. Agree or not agree?
I've got them in my first four as well, so I can't really argue. It's like I said, Xavier's making my stomach turn a little bit with their resume, and I don't know how they're going to finish, but they could also make that decision really easy with another bad loss, or if they beat somebody in the field, then they'll be a lot easier to put them in. And just compared to the rest of the bubble, they're that last team for me. So I got
I would note, and this will kind of be a spoiler to who the other two first four teams might be, that there had to be that Xavier actually would have been our second to last team and not third to last team. And I had to make a mild change there for bracketing purposes.
For matchups.
But Colorado State, the other team there, you know, a team with nothing bad, not much good, but nothing bad. So that's kind of, and the
I think
five
they're
game
good
issue.
Is About, well, yeah. I mean, and, I like those.
Losing to St. Mary's by 30 is bad. Yeah. And scoring 33 points.
33 points is bad, yeah.
But it screams first four. It's the exact type of resume that should be in the first four. I mean, plain and simple. Let's prove it.
Pay attention tomorrow. Pay attention tomorrow. It's going to be tough at Nevada tomorrow night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interestingly, coming into the middle of our first four, but as an at-large bid here, Western Kentucky was above the cut line for the bubble. Tytel, do you think this Western Kentucky team, if they slip up in the CUSA tournament, can make the field?
Yeesh, that's going to be cutting it mighty close. I think that they might be on the wrong side. I do think they have to win the conference tourney. And as if we don't give Joby enough like good things in this show, like instead of having to face Charles Bassey, he gets to face like Colorado State. Congratulations.
I'll take it. No. The worry of any Virginia fan when you see all this is that Michigan State does split their final few games, plays in the first game, and then gets to play against Virginia, and then for the eighth time in nine years, beats Virginia. Yeah, so that's...
they are going to try to avoid rematches, though. So
Last two teams in, Matt, let me bring you in here on these. They should be showing up here in the East region, if I'm looking the right spot here. Boise State, which that's what they had to shift with, switch with Xavier, so they didn't play Colorado State in the first four, and Drake.
Yeah, I think I had Boise State in my field. Actually, did not have Drake. I think it got real hazy for me down at the end of the field. And that, but I think Boise belongs in to the first four. If they lose to Loyola in the finals, they might get in. That's probably the only way. Like, a loss in the Valley tournament will get them in, though.
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I mean,
they lost to Fresno State with all the chips on the line. Yeah. They knew what they needed to do at home against Fresno State. They lost to a bad, bad team. That is a type of performance that is disqualifier until we look at what else we have to choose.
For me, that win at BYU, that's like, because I valued BYU even higher than we put up. Yeah. I have a 6 or 7 at my personal.
And Fresno's just an awful loss. We cannot ignore it. And it's right now. It happened.
Well, nobody's ignoring it. Like, we can just
get a last. Yeah, I was wondering if we could get a last minute waiver for the Ivy League to get that back.
A couple notes on Drake here on the right hand side. They obviously started their Missouri Valley Conference tomorrow. Should they lose in the quarterfinals, it's big trouble, obviously, for the last team in right now. And they're without the two best players. Tank Hemphill will not be playing during the Missouri Valley tournament. They could try to squeeze in another game.
Yeah,
I believe, although I don't know that they can actually, Rocco, because I think they've hit their 27 game limit already heading into Arch Madness. So
yeah, they 24-3. So
yeah, they are 24-3.
Yeah, that's it.
So they will not be able to schedule a non-conference game next week because of the fact that the Valley did so great and actually got all their conference games played. Drake got all 27 games in.
Yeah. Okay, I do have a question on that. If one of the non-D1 games was an exhibition, they might still have a spot, right?
Yeah, my understanding is that they
were both counted. Them.
Yeah. They could talk to the NCAA about a waiver. I mean, it might happen or something like that. So you never know.
Never know.
But if it's possible, they may try to play another non-conference game next week. Obviously, all the power conference teams will be in the conference tournament, so it's a little bit tough.
It's basically like St. Louis is the only one that makes a ton of sense because they're local.
I'm going to real quick finish off the 12 line before we move into the top teams out. It was Winthrop, the one lost team, but they did not get above the cut line for an at-large bid. But I want to bring up the top four teams out here. And Mike, let me start with you on this. Look at what's in here and our top four teams out of Seton Hall, Syracuse, Ole Miss, and St. John's. Can you make a good case for any of those four that they should be in above any of the teams we put in?
Not really. I mean, Syracuse and Seton Hall, they're close, but not quite. So,
yeah, let's take a look at those top two. Seton Hall, a team going in the wrong direction. Syracuse, a fast rising team, though.
I was going to say, I like Syracuse among those four teams, but it's.
Syracuse's problem is their road. Plain and simple. But they, at least as far as recency bias, have beaten two straight tournament teams that we have in our field, which is, and they didn't lose to Fresno. So, I give them that. They lost to Duke. I think Duke is better than Fresno as much as we rag on Duke.
Yeah.
Their people have opportunity.
Rocco, would you have either one of these teams in? I mean, Seton Hall, 11 losses already, 13-11. It really holds your nose.
Yeah, no, Seton Hall probably like third team out for me. I think out of the ones you have listed thus far, the only one I can make a case for if they win on Saturday is Ole Miss. Obviously, they have a handful of hold your nose losses. Four of them are below 2B, but one of them is Wichita State, so I'll give them a pass on that. But three still hold your nose. And then they have three great wins, you know, swept Missouri, which I think is really compelling compared to the bubble. And they have a home Tennessee win. So if they get the Vanderbilt win, they'll finally get to 500 in the top three quadrants, which is kind of a joke, but they'll get to 10-10 in those three quadrants. And I think there's an argument then to put them in over like Xavier or Boise.
Tytel, what about you? Would you put any of these four teams in over the teams we put in?
I can see a path for Syracuse, and I'll have Joby fact check me on this. So I believe that they split the season series with Carolina.
Yes.
If Duke can upset Carolina this weekend, then I think Syracuse might play UNC in an 8-9 game, which is winnable since they split the season series. Unfortunately, then they play Florida State, who I believe they have not played all season, but I don't think they would beat Florida State anyway.
Now, they are Florida State in how they're structured, except they're Florida State with a zone and less talent. So, yeah, Florida State would rail them. But here's the thing is, if they don't play Carolina, they play Duke. And not that Duke's in, but Duke has good metrics. And so I think that they get the win against Duke. You lose to Florida State, it's not embarrassing. Let's see how the rest of the bubble plays out. If you have more teams losing to Fresno State, then they're in great shape.
Joby, while I have you a second here, we talked earlier about Georgia Tech having won five in a row in the ACC, one of the hottest teams in the ACC. Is it time to talk about another team in the ACC that's won five in a row? It's suddenly cutting onto my radar, yes. Maybe for the first time ever.
Five on straight the right road wins. There. Five straight road wins in the ACC. That's what's crazy, including an very, very unfortunate one. I actually don't think they're that good. Bluntly, eye tests, they're not that good. The bank was open, with no time on shot clock on a couple of occasions in Charlottesville. Let's see. But I really love what Kevin Keats is doing at that program. I think he's making the program turn in the right direction. And I think the NIT is a perfect place for NC State to be playing to continue to build a program in a promising fashion.
I like them. I think that they could play their way in.
Well, they don't have a game this weekend, which means it's just the ACC tournament left for them.
Yeah, well, and here's the question. Yeah, what happened to the Virginia Tech? They played Virginia twice because, you know, if all of a sudden you have COVID cancellations, do they have a game this weekend? I'm dead serious on that. You know, with Virginia, who's Virginia Tech supposed to play this weekend? Because that's an interesting component here. Virginia Tech.
Oh, never mind.
COVID. Okay, so again, yeah, they might be able to get canceled. A game in. Okay, so if they can get a game in this weekend, call UTEP.
or maybe you don't want to call UTEP.
don't call Marquette either, honestly.
Yeah. Don't call Marquette.
Yeah, that cancellation really hurts NC State because that would have been a golden opportunity to pick up a quality win.
Yeah,
absolutely. But there are NC State on the list of other teams also considered. These are other teams that got votes somewhere along the line. St. Louis, Utah State, Stanford, Duke, team that we were putting in just a week ago is now, barely holding on there. Memphis and even SMU. Rocco, SMU, I think in Lenardi has him one of his top, maybe not top four, but top eight teams out. And I thought he was a little crazy on it, but when you look a little at this profile, there's just nothing bad there. It's very strange because of this, because of the games, lack of games.
Yeah, it's really kind of unfortunate because most of us liked SMU a lot in the preseason, and this crazy shutdown, it's like over 30 days old now, I think, has just thrown a damper, and plus just not enough competitive American teams this year. But I thought that win at Dayton early in the year and beating Memphis, they did some nice things. They showed that they're a fringe tournament team. I've got them like the eighth team out, but the opportunities really aren't going to be there in the AAC tournament unless they beat Houston in a semi or something like that and then lose in the final. It's just not many scenarios really equal at large bid for this team. They kind of need to just take the whole thing down.
I think it's interesting. If they end up as the 3 seed and Houston's the 2, they beat Houston in the semifinal, lose to Wichita in the final. There was an argument there to be made.
There's an argument. Yeah. And that'd be a nice win on a neutral court. So I agree with that.
On that note, maybe we should take a real quick look here at Duke as well, though. Tytel, is Duke done at this point almost, or do they?
Almost, but I think using the Syracuse line of reasoning, if they beat Carolina, then beat Duke, Syracuse or Carolina or somebody like that in the 8-9 game, I don't think they'll beat Florida State, but possible.
Okay. Yeah, it's, it's back-to-back losses after they've been playing so well.
And Krzyzewski's a vampire. You need to stick the silver spike in now, because he will rise up.
Let's go right through the rest of the field real quick here. I'm going to pull up the 13 seeds first. Texas gets Toledo. Purdue gets UC Santa Barbara. Kansas gets Belmont team. And Florida State against UNC Greensboro there. Those are the 13 seeds.
I love the 13 seeds.
Solid.
I love all four of them. They're going to be awesome. They got to get in.
Here's our 14 seeds. Vermont against Oklahoma State. Southern Utah, who suddenly took the lead in the Big Sky, against Arkansas. Navy against Villanova. And Liberty against Houston. A dangerous Liberty team, I think.
That would be a fun Liberty-Houston game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Navy not a gimme for Houston, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be first to 60 wins, baby, but...
the 15 seeds. Iowa would get Abilene Christian. Ohio State would get South Dakota State. Bama would get Grand Canyon. And West Virginia would get Cleveland State after Wright State lost in the Horizon Tournament, making Cleveland State the favorite to win that auto bid at this point. And finally, on the 16 line, the Zags would get the winner of a Wagner-Norfolk State game. Baylor would get Texas State and all Texas battle there. Michigan against Siena. Illinois gets the winner of a Northeastern Prairie View game. So I'd like to go through each of you for any thoughts either on what we did here on the bracket, things that we got completely wrong, or things that you really like, or things that you'd like to see here, or any other final thoughts you have at all. Matt, let me start off with you tonight.
Yeah, the team I'm watching is, I can see why the resume they get in, but I'm rooting for St. Louis to win the A-10 tournament because I think they're a legitimate tournament-level team. Unfortunately, they've had horrible luck with COVID, but especially before their first pause, they were playing almost at a top 25 level. Yeah. I'd like to see that group, when I think it's a winnable A-10 tournament, get in and not have to worry, because they probably wouldn't get at large if needed, and it'd be a shame if their season was basically ruined because of a COVID pause.
Yeah, it would be. Joby, how about you?
Well, Matt, I'll trail on you. I hope the A-10 or the American or someone gives us a bid thief, because it was hinted at this game with the Ivy's departure. You look at this list, it really does come down to, gosh, do we want Boise? Gosh, do we want Syracuse? Gosh, do you want Seton Hall? Maybe Ole Miss can actually develop something good in the conference tournament for them. But the fact of the matter is, I feel confident on those top, on those 36. I have no problem with the other 36. It's that last team. And maybe St. Louis, Matt, can save us.
St. Louis could save us. Utah State could save us if they steal an auto bid in the Mountain West. Stanford can't save anybody because they can't beat anybody.
Memphis, SMU, just come out of the world and win the American. I mean, East Carolina would save us because we'd throw them on the line and forget about them.
They would, yep. Mike, how about you? Any other final thoughts on this?
I arrived late for this. My key issue is Villanova. How will they be seated by the real committee with the major injury that they've had? So that's my concern. Could that cost them a seed line a la Kenyon Martin in 2000?
I think one of the big differences between Kenyon Martin, in fact, is that we're going to get a chance to see three or four Villanova games before the tournament. Right. Kenyon Martin was, right. I don't think we really saw them at all without Martin.
And I have a little X factor on that. Former top 20 recruit Brian Antoine is finally back playing again, and he got 10 minutes in that game against Creighton, and I'm interested to see, because he's an athletic guard that Villanova team that struggled guarding good teams. Switching out Gillespie for Antoine, you still have got Daniels and Moore who can potentially run the offense, and you add Antoine in who can, I'm sure, is probably a better defender than Gillespie, because it's hard to be worse.
Tytel.
I feel in terms of final thought for the bracket, I feel bad for Rutgers matching up with BYU. BYU's big man Matt Harms just won Western Conference Defensive Player of the Year the other day. So it's not impossible. 8-9 games are a coin toss, as you know, Chad, but I think it'll be tough. As far as a final thought not on the bracket, I just can't believe that we're here. Like 2 years ago, April 8th, 2019, also known as Joby's favorite day ever, Virginia played and won the last NCAA tournament game we saw. We are now 2 weeks away from the first four on Thursday, March 18th, and I couldn't be happier.
I agree with you, Rocco.
Great thought. Yeah, you know, I think you probably heard my reaction to the 13 line. I just want to call out the MAC with Toledo represented today. There are some teams playing some really good basketball. I want to call out Bowling Green, who beat Toledo a few weeks ago. They've been steamrolling since then. They're a veteran team. With Russell Turner, I could definitely see them winning the MAC tournament. We'll talk about them in future video notebooks coming up. UC Santa Barbara, yes, they represent the Big West. Yes, they're a top 50 net team. Yes, they could beat Purdue. But also UC Riverside and UC Irvine, whoever comes out of the Big West will represent very well. Belmont or Moorhead would represent well. And I think we know by now the SoCon's going to put a good team in, whether it's Greensboro or Wofford or Furman. I'm just really excited because I just see the 3-5 line right now, and they all have weaknesses. And I'm really excited about whatever those matchups produce because those leagues are going to put good teams in the field.
I think that's a great point that we're not looking at teams on the 13 line where if they get upset, we're going to put a piece of garbage in place of them. I think there are the second and third best teams in all four of those conferences are almost as dangerous as those teams we have up there.
If you move the top lines from the 14, like Liberty or Vermont, it's not like it's disaster on the 13 line.
It might be disaster beyond Liberty in the Ace Zone. But David, you want to finish off the show?
Yeah, one of the things, the last time we had an NCAA tournament, it was kind of apparent to me that the committee looked closely at where games were played, not just who was played and what quad they were in or what, you know, top 50, top 100 or whatever. I think that explains the selection of Belmont for sure, that while they may not have had quad one and quad two wins, they had the win at Lipscomb, they had the win at Murray State, and they had the win, I want to say it was at Jacksonville. They essentially won three major road games against teams that won over 80% of their home games. I think the committee's going to be clued into that. At least they were last time. I hope they remain to be because, you know, when you would evaluate a team like Louisville, you have to look at like what those quad two wins really were, where they were, and how good those teams are when they play on the road. So, and the other thing is I kind of like the way NC State's playing right now. It wouldn't shock me if they added a couple of a little more meat to their resume in the ACC tournament that's coming up.
It also wouldn't shock me if they lost the first game. So, on that note, I do want to take the chance here to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of Joby Fortson, Matt Zukowski, Mike Chaub, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, John Titel to his side, David Griggs down there at the bottom row. I'm normally not on the side here. I don't know why I moved to the side. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again later on tonight. We're going to be recording a video notebook. We're going to be doing another bracket rundown show early next week as well, I think on Monday night. But thanks for joining us, everybody, and have a great evening. Talk to you again real soon.